Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show, the last party of the summer. I'm joined here on the deck at the Jade Monkey by my pal, Matt Rothschild. Matt, welcome back.
Hey, Crudy. It's always good to see you. It's nice to be outside here.
It's nice to have you here as a co-equal, a dynamic duo, if you will, of devilishness. Matt, you're going to sit in all 3 hours here, and we're just getting started at the deck. On the deck, I guess, more accurately. We're at the Jade Monkey. This is Cottage Grove Road on the far east side of Madison. And this is one of my favorite funky bars owned by our good friend Hawk. So Hawk will join us later in the big broadcast. And we're going to have Dane County Executive Joe Parisi, your county executive and mine, Matt. Joe Parisi joins us in the happier 4 o'clock happy hour. But, man, I got to tell you, I've been anxiously, eagerly awaiting the drop of this new book, Peril. I've got it. I went and I got my hands on it.
Where'd you grab that?
I bought this at Barnes & Noble about noon today. And it's got Trump on the cover, the red portion, the upper left portion, and then the word peril, and then Joe Biden in a blue portion of the cover, written, co-written by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa. And this has been, you know, teased quite a bit. These fine journalists have been out there. They've been pushing this book. They've been selling this book. And, Matt, I can't wait to read this book. And already 30% off.
What yeah, a there's deal. A deal.
Hardcover, about $23. It's a business expense. It's a write-off. So, Matt, before I try to find others' embrace of the written word of Woodward and Costa, you know, here's what I find troubling about all these tell-all books about the Trump administration. They all knew that this was going on, Matt. And when I say they all knew, I mean the journalist knew, Woodward knew. And let me start there. Matt, you were a journalist. You still probably are at your heart. You're currently with a nonprofit, the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. You're the executive director. I don't mean to put words in your mouth, sir, but I know your resume. But before that, you were with the Progressive. Some people probably know your written word from the Progressive. And you did that for a fair amount of time, Matt. You were a journalist for a long time. If you as a journalist were well aware of some of the stuff going on, you know, let's say leading up to the planned insurrection of the United States, Matt, do you have any obligation to tell anybody, or is this about selling books?
Yeah, I think that's a real crucial point, because I think the journalists let us down. I think cable news let us down. And, of course, our elected officials, especially in the Republican Party, let us down. But when you had information about what Trump was trying to do, really to subvert and overturn our democracy, I mean, you needed to scream it from the highest building with the biggest megaphone or microphone that you could grab. And yet there were so many people who just kept silent about this. And that's what's troubled me, you know, ever since the election, ever since January 6th. But, you know, it wasn't like January 6th was a huge surprise, because, you know, Trump gave a speech in December, early December, barely covered by the news. I was watching CNN that night, and they wouldn't cover it at all. They said it's just, you know, the old guy's going to be gone. Will I give him any more coverage? And the first sentence of the speech by Trump in early December was, "This is the most important speech I've ever given." And then he went on.
Didn't he say that about every speech?
Maybe.
Though, man.
But then he went on to say, he says it's great about everything, but then he went on to say why it was the most important speech, and it was because he wasn't going to respect the results of the election. And he was real clear, actually, from, you know, the evening of November 3rd on, that he wasn't going to respect the election results.
He got out that evening, and I recall about the time that Fox News called Arizona for Joe Biden, Donald Trump went out and declared victory, didn't he?
Yeah, and so the question is, when everybody was hearing Trump saying he's not going to respect the declaration of victory, you know, what were they thinking? That the guy's off his rocker? Yes, I suppose he was off his rocker. But, you know, he was president of the United States and had enormous power at his disposal. And we're now just getting clued in as to, you know, how he was going to try to use it. I mean, there was something out of Peril today, an excerpt I saw, I think, on CNN or at the Washington Post that said, you know, he had a lawyer draw up, you know, 6 ways Pence could overturn the election.
A 6-step plan to overturn the election. A self-coup, effectively. The headline, I found this at CNN, memo shows Trump's lawyer's 6-step plan for Pence to overturn the election. And, you know, that's before I bought the book down at Barnes & Noble. And I would point out, when I bought this book this morning, Matt, or noonish, the nice lady at the counter, she said, you know, this is the heavy hitter. She said, you're buying the heavy hitter. I said, what's that mean? She said, we've been selling this book all day. She said, we are keeping track. And at the one cashier I was at, this was the 21st copy of the book sold today. So anyways, a lot of people probably have read farther in it than I have. But here's one of the things it contains. And Matt, indulge me. You know, the people love when I read aloud. A conservative lawyer working with then-President Donald Trump's legal team tried to convince then-Vice President Mike Pence that he altered the election results on January 6th when the Congress counted the Electoral College votes by throwing out electors from seven states, according to the new book. Peril got it right here.
One of those states was Wisconsin.
From the Washington Post journalist Bob Woodward and Robert Costa. Yeah, we'll talk more about that. The scheme put forward by controversial lawyer John Eastman was outlined in a two-page memo obtained by the authors for Peril, in which was subsequently obtained by CNN. The memo, which has not previously been made public, why not, provides new details showing how Trump and his team try to persuade Pence to subvert the Constitution and throw out the election results on January 6th. Now, broadly, we all kind of knew that was the gist of it, but we didn't know there was a memo and a plan. The effort to sway Pence was just one of several behind-the-scenes attempts that Trump's team undertook ahead of the January 6th in a desperate bid to overturn the 2020 election loss. After dozens of lawsuits were thrown out of the courts, Peril, again, this is the brand-new, shiny-new book by Woodward and Costa, Peril, which will be released Tuesday, it's now been released, details how Eastman's memo was sent to the GOP Senator Mike Lee of Utah, and how Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani tried to convince fellow Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina of election fraud. And Matt, I had seen some of this coverage yesterday. Both Lee and Graham scoffed at the argument and found they had no merit. You might as well make your case to Queen Elizabeth II. Congress can't do this. You're wasting your time, Lee said to Trump's lawyers, trying to overturn the results in Georgia, according to the book. Matt Rothschild, my good friend here with me at the Jade Monkey. Matt, this is what's so troubling. You know, not only did the journalist, and, you know, some could contend journalists have an ethical duty not to become part of the news. You know, just because they know something's going to happen, it's not their job to go and stop the news from breaking. It's their job to report the news, or at least that's what they would argue. But, man, what about Lindsey Graham? What about Mike Lee? I mean, I get it. They're on the Trump team. But have they sold their souls? Why are they not out? Why are they not out in public making these sort of defenses of the last election?
Well, they sold their souls many times over right now to Trump. And I think from that passage, what I gather is that Mike Lee and Lindsey Graham are trying to rehabilitate themselves through the Bob Woodward book so they look good here. You know, they knew about his scheme. They weren't saying anything. Graham didn't say anything until the evening of January 6th, and then he stopped talking about it shortly thereafter. Mike Lee's been no defender of democracy his whole career. I don't know why they get a pass here in the Woodward book, except that, you know, they're substantiating the fact that this memo was being distributed. And when did Woodward get hold of that memo, too? I'd like to know that.
Well, as would I, and they don't disclose that, at least not in my readings yet. But I'm not to the back yet, Matt. A little bit more from the CNN reporting. Under Eastman's scheme, Pence would have declared Trump the winner with more electoral college votes after the seven states were thrown out, 232 to 222, anticipating howls from Democrats protesting the overturning of the election. You think the Democrats would have howled? The memo proposes Pence would instead say that no candidate had reached the 270 votes in the electoral college. That would throw the election to the House of Representatives, where each state would get one vote. And since Republicans controlled 26 state delegations, a majority could vote for Trump to win the election. And the plan was first proposed to Pence when Eastman was with Trump in the Oval Office on January 4th. Let's consider the date, Matt Rothschild.
Yeah, 2 days before the insurrection.
Absolutely. During one of Trump's attempts to convince Pence that he had the authority, that Pence had the authority to stop the certification of the election. You really need to listen to John. He's a respected constitutional scholar. Hear him out, Trump said. Defense at the meeting. Woodward and Costa, right, in peril. Well, the nation was in peril, Matt.
Sure was. The other hilarious thing from that article is Pence decided to call up a couple people to ask him about what should I do here. One of the persons he called was Dan Quayle, of all people. Really? I'm going to call Dan Quayle if there's a constitutional crisis and I need legal advice?
Well, you say potato, I say potato, Matt. But, you know, if Dan Quayle's got to save the Republican, if Dan Quayle is the guardrails, I guess whatever it takes. A little bit more here. The main thing here is that Pence should do this without asking for permission, either from a vote of the joint session or from the court. The fact is the Constitution assigns this power to the vice president as the ultimate arbiter. We should take all of our actions with that in mind. That was the plan. That was Eastman's plan. And Trump, of course, loved this plan. And Mike Pence even considered this plan, obviously. And then he sought the advice of the Republican-saving former vice president from Indiana, Dan Quayle. Thank God for Dan Quayle.
Chalk one up for Dan Quayle. Peril. I'd never say that.
This may be selling like hotcakes, at least out at the local Barnes & Nobles here in Madison, Wisconsin. Maybe I'll let you borrow my copy during the break. Come join us. We are going to party at the Jade Monkey. And the party's already starting. We'll live broadcast here on the deck, 2 to 5 p.m. And then, you know, party to follow. It's the end of the Summer of Love, Matt. Brought to us locally by Chance Design Build, of course, Hawks Fighter Neighborhood Bar, the Jade Monkey. We're partying here right now.
And we can all look in a mirror and find some blame somewhere.
Our vice president, where is our vice president?
It is absolutely 150% your fault.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last party of the summer. We're at the Jade Monkey, one of Hawks Fighter Neighborhood Bars here on the east side of Madison. The
beautiful day, too.
East side. Yeah, it's gorgeous. And we've taken the party outdoors. You know, being safe, COVID and all those sort of things. But, you know, come join us. The party, it's going to roll on all day long. And I'm kind of excited, Matt, like many of the people here in Madison, for this new book, Peril, Bob Woodward, Robert Costa's new book. And some of the reporting out of this book, Matt, has been sort of eye-catching, eye-popping. Do you see Paul Ryan? I don't know if you can see this photo of Paul Ryan. I offer it to my friend Matt Rothschild. The rest of you won't be able to see it. But they offer a very eye-popping photo of the former Speaker of the House. And the headline is, "Oh my God, Jesus." Paul Ryan floored when he learned of Trump's White House chaos, according to, again, this new Woodward and Costas book. So I saw this one. You know, whenever it's Paul Ryan, sort of a local boy for those of us listening in Wisconsin, you know, I always go there first. So let me share a little of this story as well. And you could be part of this party, even if you can't join us on the deck. Phone lines open today for, you know, your contributions. 844-967-2789. But here, according to Sarah K. Burris at the Raw Story, one of my favorite sources, is what Paul Ryan reportedly said. It was during the time of the 2018 omnibus spending bill going to President Donald Trump's administration, and House Speaker Paul Ryan was furious after hearing Fox News pundits trash it on the morning shows. The new book, Peril, said the Washington Post. According to Bob Woodward and Robert Costa, we keep mentioning those two. Then Speaker Paul Ryan, Republican from Wisconsin, was coming to the White House for a meeting. Got invited over to the big house. He anticipated a normal meeting with the president, but what he got was far from it. Trump began yelling the second he entered, the book describes. He was threatening to veto it, sending the government into a shutdown. This is a terrible deal. Who signed off on this piece of blank? I won't, you know, violate my FCC license here, Matt.
Don't Trump, do that.
Trump rage. This piece of, again, a expletive, a bad effing deal. The wall. It's not in here. Trump raging. because the wall wasn't included in, you know, the bill to keep the government open. Ryan explained he had to sign the bill because Congress had just passed it. The book describes it as kind of a last-minute freakout because Trump hadn't been paying attention to the negotiations. It just discovered the budget because of the morning Fox News viewing. Thank God for Fox News. I mean, we discussed this already. This is the military. This is the rebuild. This is the veterans, said Ryan. Who the hell approved that? Trump continued to rage as no one responded. This went on for an hour until Ryan finally asked if he'd sign it or not. Trump relented and said yes. But it was what happened after Ryan left the Oval Office that revealed the most about Trump and the White House. This was in March of 2018, and there'd already been in office for over a year, but apparently Ryan never spent that much time there. Paul Ryan, you know, apparently not invited over to the White House often. After Trump left, Ryan asked Mark Short, an advisor to Mike Pence, who took over legislative matters for Trump, what the hell was that? It's like this every day around here, Short said, according to the book. Ryan replied, oh my God, Jesus. He had no idea. The year before, after Trump's notorious both sides comment about the Charlottesville riots, Ryan was side of the mountain in the Colorado hiking with his family. One of his Secret Service team members handed him the satellite phone because he had to dictate a refutation of Trump's comments. Yet 7 months later, Ryan still didn't fully understand what he was dealing with. Speaking to MSNBC on Monday night, Dr. Mary Trump alleged it was absurd because if they were paying even the slightest bit of attention, they would have known what to expect from Trump. That was a point I was trying to make before, Matt. Less than a month after the Oval Office confrontation, Ryan announced his retirement at the age of just 48. After being the speaker for only a few years, what a courageous soul this Paul Ryan from Wisconsin, Matt.
Well, also he was being, you know, either naive or disingenuous there. But one interesting thing about Paul Ryan that is either in this book or one of the other tell-all books is that as soon as Trump came in, Paul Ryan was told by a therapist friend of his that he should look up narcissistic personality disorder. And in the diagnostic manual of psychiatric disorders, because Trump checks every box there. And of course, the therapists and the psychiatrists were warning us during the election, the first election in 2016, that this guy is has a real personality problem and is no way fit to hold the most powerful office in the world. So, you know, Paul Ryan, it's weird for me to believe that he didn't know at that point in 2018 what he was dealing with. But, you know, at least Paul Ryan is saying out loud right now that the election, the last election, wasn't stolen, wasn't rigged like that ad you keep running on your station, which I'd like to hear.
I've heard that fine ad from the People for People People Corporation. But, man, I find it a lot too late. Paul Ryan had a very public role. He was the Speaker of the House.
I mean, all these people did. McCarthy did. McConnell did, Lindsey Graham did, Ted Cruz did. I mean, just go down the line. They all knew who they were dealing with, and they wouldn't say it out loud in public so that the voting population could be well-informed when they go into the voting booth. The media knew more than they were telling us. The Democrats were naive about what Trump would try to do after November 3rd. They thought they had it all wrapped up once it was declared, and no one really understood, or not many people understood, just how perilous, as the book says, our democracy was at that point.
How could they not know? Hillary Clinton warned you people. Hillary Clinton told us that exactly what would happen would happen. I mean, Hillary Clinton, I think more people should have voted for her.
Well, a lot of people.
Including here in the great state of Wisconsin. Come back with us. Devil's Advocates on the road. I got a fine co-host. He's Batman Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Party with us. Jade Monkey Deck in Madison. Google it.
We became a pretty good governing party.
What the hell's going on out here?
I'm really proud of what we've been able to do.
Because we're very high.
I want to thank the President of the United States for his steadfast leadership.
No, I don't take responsibility at all.
60% of the time, they're right every time. Dom and Cruz are the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, back at the Jade Monkey, back where we belong. I got my good friend Matt Rothschild, my co-devil for the day from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And Matt, I was one of the early buyers of the Peril book, so I'm proud of myself. I'm going to look forward to reading a little beyond. I've only read a few pages so far. We've seen lots of reporting on this book, though, and I'm very troubled by the fact that people like Paul Ryan and people like Lindsey Graham and people like Mike Lee, they knew that there was, you know, a big lie going on here. And they knew it was being perpetrated by the president. And they, you know, tried to follow the rabbit hole Rudy Giuliani led them down. They tried to follow the logic of the lawsuits that, of course, were dismissed all across the country. But here we are, Matt Rothschild. We are where we are. And here in the state of Wisconsin, they're trying to continue with the big lie. And we've got a former disgraced Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice, Michael Gabelman. He's in charge of this investigation. And he's thrown out these sort of, you know, alternatively monotonistic and threatening YouTube videos. Fancy Brian, do we have the YouTube? I want to play some of the sound. I don't know if you bothered to go to YouTube, because that's where all the investigatory bodies do their best work, you know, on their YouTube channel. But we got some sound of this former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice. And I think this sort of pivots nicely from what Trump tried to accomplish, this coup d'etat. They gave Mike Pence a specific list of how to get from here to there, or at least they proposed. And Pence didn't go public. I mean, Paul Ryan, we read this expert from the Peril book about Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan resigns, goes off and cashes checks on K Street, you know, while perhaps democracy is burning down. And then we bring it down to the state level. We've talked about the veracity of the election here in the state of Wisconsin. And Matt Rothschild, you know, we did a recount. You know this. Republicans know this. The only evidence they really point to is the late night arrival of the absentee ballots in Milwaukee County, 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, yeah, and a lot of absentee ballots, which of course were primarily Democratic voters, and overwhelmingly the ballots came in for Joe Biden. And unlike 2016, Trump lost the state of Wisconsin.
And they were required to wait to count those ballots until all
by
the other
by state law.
Right. So they've got no leg to stand on there. It's just ridiculous. This thing has been counted, recounted, certified six ways to Sunday. And the fact that Robin Voss and Gabelman and Janelle Branchon, who heads the Wisconsin Assembly Committee on Elections, are still peddling the big lie is just so disgraceful. And they're just fueling, the rancid red meat to their base, the same diet that fueled the January 6th insurrection that we were just talking about a second ago. And so shame on all of them.
Well, let's play some of the sound. Let's shame them publicly right here on the radio.
I'm for that.
Disgraced former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gabelman. Fancy Brian, if you'd be so kind, play cut number 10. You know, Voss is the boss, but I work for you.
Recently, Speaker Robin Voss appointed me as special counsel to investigate our 2020 elections here in Wisconsin. In that capacity, I work directly for you, the people of Wisconsin.
Yeah, but the vast majority of us believe the outcome of the last election, including Speaker Robin Voss, who's only doing this because, what, he's afraid of Donald Trump.
Yeah, Gabelman's not speaking for me or anyone out on the porch here at Jade Monkey, I don't think.
More from Gabelman, cut 11, Fancy Brian. It ain't about the rich and the powerful.
The rich and the powerful have all the representation they need. I'm here to make sure the same is true for everyone.
Well, the rich and the powerful in this case would be Donald Trump, would it not?
No, Gabelman, all of a sudden, champion of poor people, champion of the little guy. He wasn't a champion of the poor people or a little guy or working people when he was a justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Well, this investigation has begun in earnest, according to Gabelman. Cut 12, please.
Just last week, once the Assembly approved the funding of our investigation, and our investigation began in earnest, we've already met with witnesses and made requests for the preservation of possible evidence.
A little bit more from Gabelman. Cut 13, please.
But let me be clear. The purpose of this investigation is to determine what was supposed to happen in our elections and what did happen.
Now, do you believe that? What was supposed to happen and what did happen? Well, according to him prior, and I don't mean to put words in your mouth, Matt Rothschild, but Gabelman already declared that he thinks this is a rigged election.
Yeah, so that just shows you how unbiased this thing is. I mean, it's biased from the get-go. He mentioned the funding there a second ago. That's $676,000 of your taxpayer dollars going down the tubes for this ridiculous fishing expedition. And my bet is it's going to be even more than that when all is said and done and the nickels and dimes and dollars and Benjamins are all counted up. And, you know, Gabelman doesn't seem to know that there have been these recounts, that there's been these certifications. He doesn't seem to know that Senator Kathy Bernier, who heads the Senate Elections Committee and is a Republican, just held an informational hearing within the last 2 weeks where she explained all the checks and balances we've had.
Well, that was for informational purposes only. This is the real investigation. And here's my question. What if things go wrong, Gabelman? Cut 14.
To see what went well as to see what might have gone badly. If things did go wrong, we will submit recommendations for how problems should be addressed so that voters can have complete confidence in all of our elections going forward.
Well, most of us do have complete confidence, including in the last election, because we did a recount and they canvassed. And we've done this before, and we have 1,850 individual voting districts in the state of Wisconsin. To bring together some sort of, corrupt coalition to turn the election to Joe Biden instead of Donald Trump, I mean, you know, that only happens in Rudy's fancy.
Yeah, and what is he doing here except assailing the integrity and reputation of the local clerks, the 1,800 local clerks we have in community after community here in Wisconsin, who, you know, work their tails off during Election Day and in preparation for Election Day and all night long on Election Night and then in the days and weeks to follow to make sure that all the I's have been dotted and the T's have been crossed. He's saying that your local clerk is somehow corrupt.
No, you misconstrue his words. He's just looking for truth. There's no politics behind this. Cut 15, please.
This investigation will be guided by a search for the truth and not by political priorities or political timetables.
Search for the truth and no politics? I mean, he was appointed by Robin Voss because Robin Voss had to go, you know, kiss the ring of the demagogue in chief.
Well, this is entirely about politics. Of course. And they will compel if necessary. This guy has subpoena power. Cut 16.
Some evidence has been produced previously that shows some election officials acted unilaterally in deciding not to follow established state law. We will request from those officials and others with potential knowledge of unlawful actions and will compel them, if necessary, to produce documents and testimony that will allow the public to gain a comprehensive understanding of how their elections were managed.
Yeah, but here's the reassuring part. They're not challenging the results of the election. Jumping forward, Fancy Brian, cut 18, please.
This is not an election contest. We are not challenging the results of the 2020 election. Rather, we are holding government officials accountable to the public for their actions surrounding the election.
But they are effectively creating and fomenting this environment, Matt Rothschild, that allows the cultists to perpetrate violence. And just because the J6 rally was a bust in D.C. this weekend doesn't mean they're not going to go off and try to, what, kidnap another Democratic governor in the state of Michigan or maybe the one here in Wisconsin or do something else, you know, because it was a rigged election. They stole it. Yeah. And even though if they're, go ahead.
This is what bothers me. This inciting of the base, this continual feeding of poison to people all across the country that somehow the election was stolen, that somehow people shouldn't have faith in our election system here in Wisconsin or anywhere in the country. That totally destabilizes the society and gives a wink and a nod to someone who says, well, if this was illegitimate, you know, if Biden isn't our legitimate president, you know, they're going to do something crazy about it. And that, you know, I've been worried about that since Trump started fueling all these rumors about a so-called, you know, rigged election, because there are a lot of crazy people out there with, and a lot of crazy people have guns, and, you know, Lord knows what awful thing might happen. And this is just more incendiary rhetoric coming out of Gabelman and coming out of Voss by proxy. I mean, Voss should be ashamed of himself. Voss is a smart guy. Voss knows the score. He knows the election wasn't stolen. He knows this thing's been investigated 10 ways. You know, he knows our clerks and our election system have a great deal of integrity. And so this is just a lot of sound and fury here, but it's really dangerous sound and very dangerous fury. And they're playing with fire. You know, Trump's been playing with fire, and he doesn't care. He's a pyromaniac, but, you know, this is going to have this could have some real negative consequences, and they got to stop. They got to put an end to it. And Gabelman is such a partisan political hack. I mean, for him to say with a straight face and beautiful baritone that this is not about politics, it's just a bunch of crap.
Joe Hendrick, who is a statistician of some renown, he's a Republican. Typically, he's the go-to guy on election days. And Joe Hendrick happens to work for Speaker Robin Voss, and Joe Hendrick accurately predicted the flipping of the margin when the absentee ballots were counted and tabulated and thrown into the mix in Milwaukee County. In fact, forewarned this, predicted this accurately, yet they still don't believe. I mean, even Scott Walker, the former Republican corrupt governor of Wisconsin, is not claiming that there was a rigged election.
And let's remember, these were recounted in Milwaukee County and Dane County with Trump people watching the recount, and they found nothing.
So if Robin Voss knows, and we agree he does, this is purely out of fear of their own supporters. Republicans so fear their own constituents at this point that they'll perpetrate this lie. They'll continue this fool's errand to what end? And they even know it's potentially fomenting violence, but they'll still do it because they're afraid of the violent element of their own constituency.
And Robin Voss fears not only his own constituents, he fears his own colleagues. You know, he fears that he will be thrown out of the speaker's chair, because after all, there was Janelle Brangin and Sheriff Clark at the Capitol on a couple rallies here in Madison saying Robin Voss has got to go.
Well, not only did they say that, and I was at the most recent one a week ago Friday, but they then entered the Wisconsin State Capitol building. And they went to the Republican Legislative Leadership's office, LeMahieu, and they went to Kapinga's office, and then they went down to Speaker Voss's office and basically said, what, signed the subpoenas? I mean, he's got a whole other guy. We just heard from his guy. He's got a former Supreme Court justice to give him all sorts of cover on this. And the only valid point that those crazy fringers made that day, and Sheriff David A. Clark, the Fox News guy, I mean, he's kind of even been banned from Fox News. But the only point he made with any validity that day, this Gabelman, this Supreme Court justice, the deal he made effectively only gives a report to the Republican Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly. It's not a public report. So effectively, Bill Barr, once again, this case Speaker Voss is Bill Barr in the analogy, gets to what? Be the fox in the hen house. Gets to tell us what this investigative report contains. Folks, we're partying at the Jade Monkey right here, Cottage Grove Road in Madison. Got some fine people with us on the deck. I got the finest right next to me here, my co-host for the day. He's Matt Rothschild. He's Batman from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Come back, join us on the deck. The party continues. More Devil's Advocates. It's the summer of love.
You are one pathetic loser.
Explain that, because my voters don't get it.
Nobody likes you. Everybody hates you. You're gonna lose.
Go home.